trumpet is part of the orchestra through which we play and emote before the divine. And even when sounded in singular fashion, as an instrument alone, it represents something sophisticated. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, Episode 65, Which Instrument Expresses the Soul? I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
We begin with a striking quote that comes from the gifted violinist Joshua Bell. Bell was being interviewed in a documentary titled Orchestra of Exiles, which is about the legacy and life of Bronislav Huberman, himself a brilliant violinist who created the orchestra that ultimately became the Israel Philharmonic. The documentary describes how during the 1930s, in order to raise funds for this nascent orchestra, Huberman was performing in Carnegie Hall when the Stradivarius that had been given him as a young man was suddenly stolen out of his dressing room. Joshua Bell, interviewed about Huberman and about the theft of his Stradivarius, says the following. The connection between violinist and violin becomes almost like your soulmate. Some people compare it to getting married. Huberman formed so much of his career on this violin, so it must have been devastating to come back to his dressing room and to know that your soul, your voice, is missing. End quote. It is a stirring image, the Stradivarius as the soul, or rather, the external expression of the innermost existential aspects of one's being. But a Stradivarius, of course, is one of the most sophisticated instruments on earth, fine-tuned for the playing of some of the most sophisticated compositions on earth. Is sophistication an accurate expression of our innermost core? We consider this question as we focus on a mitzvah that is very much about instruments, very much a matter of music. Today, the most well-known biblical instrument is the shofar, the horn of an animal utilized in the blast sounded on Rosh Hashanah and which appears in sacred scripture in a number of significant stories. Yet in the temple, by and large, the most important instrument was not the shofar at all. It was not an object of nature, but rather a metallic creation of craftsmanship. The Torah describes Moses making or overseeing the creation of shtei chatzotzrot kesef, two silver trumpets, whose blasts were utilized in order to assemble the Israelites and to signal the mode of journeying that would occur. Silver trumpets, we are further informed, are meant to be an eternal instrument of Israel in the land itself. In times of crisis, the people are commanded to wail before God, utilizing the trumpets to emit a truah, the broken or siren sound. In contrast, inside the temple precincts, the trumpets were used in solemn and celebratory fashion. Thus, the verse instructs, "Uviyom simchatchem uvmoadechem uvorashei chodshechem." On the days of your rejoicing and your appointed times and on your new months, utkatem b'chatzotzrot, you shall sound a blast on the trumpets. Alo l'techem v'alzivchei shalmechem, over your elevation offerings and peace offerings. V'ayu lachem l'zikaron lefnei alokechem ani Hashem alokechem, that it shall be for you a remembrance before the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. Hence, it is trumpets in the temple that are the musical medium by which we call out to the Almighty. In contrast, on Rosh Hashanah, we use a seemingly simpler instrument, one found in nature, one whose sound is not refined but raw. Anyone who has heard a trumpet and who has also heard a shofar understands how profoundly different their respective calls actually are, as well as the deep distinction between the moods that they seemingly evoke. Why then does the spectrum of religious experience for the Torah include both trumpet and shofar, both sophisticated instrument and animal horn? The answer, of course, is that truly reflecting the range of experiences and emotions in human life require both sophisticated cries and ones that relate to the more religiously raw aspects of our experience. I often cite the writer Thomas Cahill, who describes the full range of interior emotions that are described in the Psalms. Cahill put it this way: Prior to the humanist autobiographies of the Renaissance, we can count only a few isolated instances of this use of I to mean the interior self. But David's Psalms are full of I's. The I of repentance, the I of anger and vengeance, the I of self-pity and self-doubt, the I of despair, the I of delight, and the I of ecstasy. The Psalms, Cahill continues, are a treasure trove of personal emotions and a unique early roadmap to the inner spirit, previously mute, of ancient humanity. Whereas the historian must normally guess at the emotions of his subjects from incomplete or indirect evidence, David's Psalms, Cahill concludes, reassure us that 3,000 years ago people laughed and cried just as we do, bled and cursed, danced and leapt, that our whole repertoire of emotions was theirs. End quote. This is a profound point, to which I would add that David's descriptions of diverse emotions always also involve his relationship with God. And so we too relate to the Almighty by expressing ourselves in a variety of ways. At times, our joy is expressed in sophisticated fashion. Thus, the Mishnah describing the rejoicing on Sukkot during what was known as the ritual of the water drawing. Quote, men of piety and good deeds used to dance before them with lighted torches in their hands, and they would sing songs and praises, and Levites with innumerable harps, lyres, cymbals, and trumpets, and other musical instruments stood upon the 15 steps leading down from the court of the Israelites, end quote. Thus, this a partial description of the rejoicing before the people. And the Mishnah continues a bit after, telling us that there were two members of the priesthood who would stand, quote, with two trumpets in their hands, end quote. Yaakov Nagin, citing this Mishnah, building on the work of earlier scholars, compares the scene to the bringing of the Ark by David into Jerusalem. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 7. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, even with songs and with harps and with lyres, and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. End quote. The trumpet is part of the orchestra through which we play and emote before the divine. And even when sounded in singular fashion, as an instrument alone, it represents something sophisticated. In contrast, the shofar is meant to be a much more raw and wordless cry. It is an expression of unsophisticated angst. As my colleague Rabbi Dov Lerner put it about the wordless cry of the shofar, even though we can acknowledge that there is enormous sophistication to verbal expression, it is the brute sound of the shofar that is brought to bear because, he writes, quote, during the high holy days, Jews are hardly at a loss for words, but at one point they purposefully lose them, choosing speechlessness in a profound recognition that for human beings the road to moral repair begins in confronting their base cravings and their inborn capacity to fail, end quote. And he adds, to paraphrase his essay, that the shofar is an act of the drowning of hubris through which, quote, confessing humans set out on the path to godliness and redemption, end quote. At times, a sophisticated expression is appropriate, and at times, a raw cry is what is required. Many years later, the Stradivarius, the soul of Bronislaw Huberman, was found. It was ultimately purchased by Joshua Bell himself, who describes how meaningful it was soon after he bought the instrument to bring it to the Israel Philharmonic and to play there, giving expression to the sophisticated musical dream of Huberman that was made into reality. At times, our wonder can find itself in truly grand expression, and at times, something much more plain is required. The trumpet and the shofar are both essential expressions of Jewish spiritual life. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.